Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the first Sunday of each month from 3 to 4 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with the community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Jordan from Laytonville High School, and
Jesse from Laytonville High School,
and Royce from Willits High School.
Today, our topic is Testing 2014, New and Improved. Really? Youth Speaks Out had a show in 2006 called Testing, What Does It Prove? The host and listening community discussed how much emphasis is placed on testing in our educational system and to what extent it accurately assesses how well individual students and schools were learning the material presented. That show is worth listening to and is available in streaming form at our website, www.youthspeaksout.net, or contact the producer for a CD. In the 8 years since the show was broadcast, there have been numerous modifications to how high school students are tested. Most notably, there have been significant changes to the standardized tests and the SAT college entrance exams. The STAR test, that is, Standardized Testing and Reporting, began in 1999 as the cornerstone of the California Public School Accountability Act. The primary objective was to help schools improve the academic achievement of all students.
In March of 2013, it was announced that the STAR testing system was set to expire in July of 2014, and California would replace STAR tests with a more in-depth exam in 2 years, 2015. These new exams would follow the new Common Core state standards and have a requirement for in-depth essays and projects that students will complete on computers. Last fall, the California State Legislature voted to drop STAR testing for this year, which led to a beta test for the new California Assessment of Student Performance and Progress, CAASPP. This test was administered this spring in our high schools. The STAR tests used to last 4 days and were largely multiple-choice questions answered by filling in circles, with some essays that were graded by readers. This new Common Core test lasted 2 hours and was given on laptop computers hooked up to the internet. There are essays, but they will be graded by a computer program, which left many teachers wondering how this is possible. Will the score be graded by design, keywords, or what? There is also a feature called adaptive testing, which changes the questions an individual student sees on their computer based on correct and incorrect answers. The results of this year's trial test will not be given to the schools.
One of the problems with the previously used STAR tests was that many teachers shaped their curriculum towards the test. There was pressure to do this since schools were judged on their students' performance. Schools scoring poorly would get funds for improvement for Schools scoring poorly would get funds for improvement for 2 years, but if they did not improve scores then, the government would demand changes in the administration and teaching staff. And schools that scored well were still required to keep scoring higher, or they would lose some federal educational funding. The Common Core testing is a federal program. Many critics say it impinges on states' rights. For example, the right of a state to exclude the teaching of evolution in the classroom, or civil rights, or gay rights. As a result of uneasiness about federally mandated education, 5 states have refused to adopt Common Core standards. A number of other states are being pushed by some citizens to drop the program. The most common form of testing in the schools is for individual subjects. These tests are to show academic progress and create a ranking in each class. Some students find testing easy and are enthusiastic about it. Many students stress a great deal before and during tests. A number of students have developed a sense that they will do poorly in any test and really don't try. The resulting grades become a permanent record and, in many cases, influence how people fit into society. Interestingly, a number of studies have shown that the grades one receives in school do not accurately predict success in life, neither financially nor emotionally.
Alternatives to the A to F grading scales have been around since the late 1960s. Pass-fail is an option in many colleges, allowing students to maintain higher grade point averages in subjects that they know they will be able to pass, but not excel in. Some colleges, notably UC Santa Cruz, adapted a narrative evaluation system where the teacher would discuss with the student how well they did rather than to give an A to F letter ranking. There are still several dozen colleges in the U.S. offering the system, though most give or offer letter grades. Now we will listen to a short news report on how much testing students in the United States undergo compared to students in other countries of the world.
Twenty to 30 tests in one semester is a lot of tests and a lot of stress. But is life any easier for kids overseas? Well, Corey Turner of the NPR Ed team set out to investigate.
Let's do some selective globetrotting, shall we? First stop, England. Our tour guide is Dylan William, an emeritus professor of educational assessment at the University of London. He studies testing.
At the age of 16, almost every child in England will take probably about 15 or 20 substantial examinations.
And they're all part of one big test. How well kids do helps determine whether they finish high school. Not college, high school. Talk about high-stakes testing. For those who do go on, they get two more years of high school, and each of those years ends with another big round of tests, saving the worst for last.
And your grades on those examinations will determine which universities you're offered places at.
Unlike in the U.S., William says, grade point average won't save an English kid who has a bad test day. GPA just doesn't matter. Next stop on our testing tour, Finland.
We have this one and only standardized examination at the very end of the high school.
Pasi Sahlberg is a visiting professor at the Harvard Graduate School of Education and an expert on testing in Finland. He says Finnish teens have just one test to worry about in high school, but it's a big one.
Students normally do about six of these one-day, six-hour exams for their examination.
So that one test can mean some 40 hours of actual test-taking. Sahlberg himself went through the system and remembers the stakes.
It was very clear for everybody that, you know, unless you do very well with this one examination, that, you know, some of these dreams that you may have for the future will become very difficult to fulfill.
Let me paraphrase that. Bomb this test and kiss your dreams goodbye. Student stress doesn't end there either. Sahlberg says Finnish universities often have their own entrance exams, too. Okay, last stop, Japan. Akiko Takahashi is an associate professor of math education at DePaul University, and he knows the Japanese testing system well.
Okay, in high school, there's no standardized test.
You heard it here, folks. No big white-knuckle test in Japan.
But instead, each college requires additional exam.
Nah, there's always a catch. As in Finland, Japanese universities generally require their own exams. And it turns out many Japanese students also have to take an exam just to get into high school.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of pressure. Well, you know, if you do not pass exam, you cannot go anywhere, even high school.
Takahashi himself remembers the anxiety.
Yeah, somehow I survived.
Japan, Finland, England, France, Germany, China, Singapore. Dylan William of the University of London says when it comes to getting into college, the story's pretty much the same.
This is true for most countries apart from the U.S. There's no teacher contribution to the decision, if you like. Basically, it's how well you do in those exams.
In the U.S., only about half of states have anything like a high-stakes high school exit exam. And American colleges and universities do consider report cards, teacher recommendations, and don't forget those obligatory application essays. In fact, hundreds of U.S. schools no longer require test scores at all. So, do American teens take more tests than kids overseas? It's distinctly possible, but those kids overseas would argue, when it comes to stress, it's not the quantity of tests that matters, but what's at stake when the clock starts ticking. Corey Turner, NPR News, Washington.
The other new improved test is the SAT College Entrance Exam. The changes will take place in 2016. According to the National Association for College Admission, students' grades and the academic rigor of their courses weigh more heavily than standardized tests in the admission process of most colleges. However, a low SAT will make admissions much less likely. The 5-hour test is grueling to most students, and the fear of it creates serious stress in most as well. So, the announcement of improvements are that the reading and writing sections will include questions that require students to cite evidence for their new answer choices, and will include reading passages from a broader range of disciplines, including science, history, social studies, and literature. Test takers will no longer be asked to complete sentences with obscure words they might have memorized from flashcards. The math section will no longer allow calculators to be used in every portion. It will focus on data analysis and the real-world problem-solving, algebra, and some more advanced math concepts. Essays will be scored separately from the rest of the test, and the prompt will remain basically the same in every test. It will ask the students to consider a passage and write an essay that analyzes how the author made an argument, used evidence, and cited ideas. The redesigned test will take about 3 hours, with an additional 50 minutes for the essay, and will be administered by print and computer.
The goal of the changes to the SAT test will be to make it more aligned to what students learn in high school and not require special training to answer trick questions. Bob Schaefer, a critic of college entrance exams, says that the changes to the SAT are cosmetic surgery. He said high school grades will continue to forecast students' graduation chances more accurately. The exam will still underpredict the performance of females, students whose home language is not English, and older applicants. SAT scores will remain a better measure of family income than of college readiness. So we will begin this program by discussing our experiences in academic testing, what we have learned about changes in testing, and what we think of the grading system. Then we'll open the phone lines for your questions and input. We're at the Willett Studio, so our phone number will be 456-9991. We'll tell you when to call in about 20 minutes. Let's start by describing the Common Core tests we had last month. Jesse, how did the test compare to the STAR test we've had forever?
It was a lot different because it wasn't multiple choice anymore. It was something that we had to type in and respond to, like even equations that we had to deal with. We had to sit there and figure out how to put like the exponents where and like how to mess with it differently. Since it was so much different, we had to put our own input into it, so it was a lot different than the regular STAR tests.
Yeah, it required more effort.
Yeah.
Royce, do you have any opinions?
I'm a senior, so it was only required by the juniors to take the new standardized test and do the beta for it. But I got a watch from the sidelines and not actually do it myself. It looked a lot more interactive than the old tests were, obviously because it was on the computer and not on paper. So instead of filling in the dots, you gotta like drag and drop or like click on the little exponents, and you could do like parentheses and all kinds of complex math figures that probably wouldn't be available for use as an answer before. So that was pretty interesting. And also I thought it was interesting that it scaled with how well you were doing on the test in like real time. Like it said in what we just read, if you did well, it would keep giving you like the same level of questions, but if you answered a question wrong, it would slowly bring it down and give you like easier questions or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, it adapts the test depending on the answers you got, correct and incorrect.
Yeah, there was a couple people by me that had like the same questions the same time I did, because I would like look around and I would see some people with like the same graph that I had, and I was like, oh, nice.
Yeah, they also instead of being one test given out to every student in that grade and for that subject, they were individually suited to follow the courses that the student has taken. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that kind of helps, since a lot of students, on the STAR testing, they'll be like asked questions that they haven't necessarily taken classes for yet. So that definitely like did put a big fault in the STAR testing if they haven't, you know, got to that point yet. So I think the fact that it changes the questions was pretty good, since it like determines your level of where you're at and tries to help you. So I think that was cool.
Mm-hmm. So basically there's like a straight math test, a straight English test, and like a straight science test?
There may be a science, but we only took math and English so far.
Yeah, because the only one I sat in on was the math one, because there was quite a few juniors in my math class. So mm-hmm. that was my experience.
Do you think this would be a good replacement for the STAR tests, or what do you think?
I think it still has that grueling aspect to it. It's pretty long, and a lot of people still probably aren't going to want to do it. But I feel like it's better. I feel like if you ask me why, I'm not sure. But just looking at you guys doing it, it looks easier to complete and like more like interactive, maybe? I'm not sure. I'm just glad I didn't have to take it this year.
Well, I think the STAR testing was, like, easier to complete. So, like, if you had no idea what the answer was, you could just, like, you know, pick one. You got a 25% chance. But, like, the one that was replaced by it is definitely a lot more interactive.
Oh, another thing I just thought of. What percentage of, like, the questions were, like, actually multiple choice for you guys? What do you think?
Not very many. I would say 20-30%.
Maybe.
Of the questions.
And that was, like, only on English, right?
Yeah, and
there was, like, no multiple choice on math.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, weren't they just, like, put in the correct answer?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's probably going to be a lot harder for students, because beforehand you could kind of just, you could either guess, you could make an educated guess on which one looked the best, you could put it back into the problem, to put the answer back into the problem and try to work it out backwards. But you have to really know what you're doing now. Because if you don't get the right answer, then it's wrong. And you have to know that right answer, and you have to get the right answer yourself. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
It's a little more difficult.
What did you think about using the internet for the test? Is that going to be more reliable?
I hated it so much because my computer, like, kept having problems, like, going into the login screen, and I sat there for, like, 20 minutes waiting for, like, someone to come help me while they were making sure everybody else was logged in, mm-hmm. and I was just sitting there waiting for it to load, and it wouldn't load, and it was just, like, blank screen, and I couldn't do anything.
Yeah, I had some difficulty with it, too. I would try and sign in, and it would just sit there and spin and load, and it wouldn't do anything, so.
That'll probably be a problem for a lot of people. Or, like, places that, like, don't have internet or good computer access.
Well, they have to give more funds for the internet. If they require it, like, the tests to be on the internet, then they have to give grants for them to get high-speed internet. That's what we received.
Nice.
I mean, it's still really slow.
Yeah. I bet they save a lot of money, though, on... Isn't the test now graded on computer by computers? So that saves a whole bunch of money for the in-person... Well, I guess the test was just like a Scantron, like it just scanned the dots in beforehand. But the people read the tests beforehand, didn't they? So that must have saved them some money.
Yeah, and the essays, too.
Yeah, the essays. That's what I meant.
Yeah. How reliable do you think computers grading an essay will be?
I have no idea. Like, I don't know if they're going to do it by certain keywords. I feel like that's how they're trying to do it. Like, maybe, I don't know if it's going to be, like, definitions or keywords, but it has to be somewhere around there, because when they ask you to type a response from, like, a paper they want you to read, it's a lot different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. Like you said, how they test and how they read the test and grade you on it by the computers. It's interesting as I'm leaving high school and I'm seeing all the tests I have to take and whatnot, and how much of like a money market the education system's in, and how much money is made from our education. Like, you gotta take like the PSAT and then you gotta take the SAT, and you pay like, I thought I paid $50, but you guys are saying it was $80 to take the SAT.
Yeah, I think it's $80.
And then if you're in AP classes, it's, oh my gosh, it's like $150 per test if you don't have financial aid or whatever. $150 per test, and if you're taking three tests like I was this year, it was going to be something like $300 something like that. Maybe,
dang.
Maybe not 150. I don't remember exactly the prices, but it was a crazy amount of money. And then, what else? Every application for college you have to pay for, and then, it's so much money is made off the education system these days. It's crazy. Also, when you get to college, you have to pay for your school supplies, your books, and I haven't even looked into it, but from what I hear, college like textbooks are crazy expensive.
Yeah, they're like $100, like at least each.
Obnoxiously expensive.
And that's like buying them used. It's like $100.
Mm-hmm.
And it's worse when you only use them for one paragraph on one page.
Yeah, like a lot of teachers, because I have some friends in college, and they've told me like they've barely used their textbooks. Or the teacher just doesn't really care about them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I just remembered. Once you take the SAT, and then you have to pay them to send your scores to colleges. Every mm-hmm. college. It's so crazy.
Yeah, don't you get like 5 free or 3 that they'll send for free? And then you have to pay for the rest?
I did mine last June. So I had no idea what I was doing at that point. I'm like, I'm going to go to college somewhere. I'm not sure which. So, and they only give you like a week window or something to send your tests off. And I was like, don't I have a free send off somewhere? And I looked all over my account on the internet, and it's like, you had one 4 months ago, but not today. And I'm like, oh, okay.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Well, that's something to keep in mind for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about the new testing? The old STAR tests weren't really taken seriously at all because the scores didn't affect the student individually. So it only showed what the teachers had been teaching the students. Do you think that the new core testing will change that?
Well, I mean, I always tried on the STAR testing because it was, like, easy. So I would just try it. And if I didn't know something, then I would just guess and keep going mm-hmm. for one I knew. But I think the core testing that they're doing is going to make a lot of people screw off in the testing because it's a lot different from what everybody else is used to.
Yeah.
I think a lot of screwing off happened before the old STAR testing. Like, I also did pretty well on the test, so it was pretty easy, but there was still that, like, grueling aspect of, like, a whole week of your schooling dedicated to this test, and you would just go in every class period and work on this for, like, 2 hours straight, and it was so hard to complete, and I don't blame people who just did little Christmas trees in the bubbles and whatever. I mean, I hated this thing, and the only reason I did not do that is because at the high school they told us that we were on federal academic probation or something like that. That we had been graded so badly that if we didn't pass last year, that we would administration would be mixed up and we'd have new teachers come in.
Oh yeah, they would like come in and take over and like completely change it.
They threatened us with that or whatever, and we were on like year 3 or something of like horrible testing, and that I missed the STAR testing last year. I think I was on vacation and I came back and I was like, oh, missed it, don't have to do it. And then they're like, well, we have makeup so you can actually do it. And I'm like, I don't want to do it. I hate this. I just want to do some Christmas trees. But I feel like I'm intelligent enough so that my score will help my school. So then I did it. But still, it was like 2 or 3 days I had to work on these tests around my actual like schedule since I was doing these makeup tests. And everyone else was not trying. So I felt like it was my need as to help my school somehow with my testing.
I've also heard that a lot of the information on the STAR test was irrelevant, or the teachers hadn't taught that information. I know now a lot of teachers are trying to teach the specific information that is on the STAR test. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, when I was doing the STAR test, there was definitely some stuff that I've like never even heard about, especially on the math, because like going through a math book is so hard to get to the end. Like during a year, like in our Algebra 2 class, we're just over halfway right now, and we only have a month left of school. So, like, I definitely see that there is a lot of information that we missed and that is on the STAR test, and it's kind of like And what we're doing right now is we're kind of skipping around in sections, like getting to the very important parts that we need to know for trig next year. So we're going to miss some stuff, but we're learning the important parts for next year. But at the same time, we're also going to not know a lot of it.
I've heard some teacher input on the STAR testing, and especially with math, like you were saying, they had to jump around in the book all year long to get to the major ideas that was on the test, and they would end up missing a lot of math stuff that we probably should know but weren't learning because it wasn't on the test. And now, I sat in on the new standardized testing because I was in a math class with a lot of juniors, and this year we didn't have the STAR testing because we're on the beta or whatever for California. And as a whole, the classes felt a lot smoother. We've actually gone through the book like in a forward direction, not skipping anywhere, but like learning each thing by thing. And it's felt a lot easier. And I'm sure the teachers like it a lot better because they're not stressed out and they're not having to jump around and teach us every little thing and cram. And they can just teach freely again, which wasn't
but eventually
happening.
The core testing is going to be like the STAR testing, and then they're going to have to do the same thing. It's just different this year because the schools aren't getting the scores back, so mm-hmm. They're going to have to do that next year.
Yeah, they are. Oh man.
So it's pretty much just going to end up being the same, but like I said, it's going to be different because if you don't have any idea of what you're doing, like on that part of like a math question, then you're pretty much just have to skip the question, because if you don't know it, then there's no multiple choice and you can't like single out like obvious ones.
Yeah, if you don't know a single thing, you have to
skip
miss a lot.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the teachers can't really cover everything in a textbook in 1 year. That's really difficult for them. I don't think I've ever had for example, a math class where we've went through an entire textbook in a single year. And so they're forced to do the specific things to keep up, or they're forced to spend more time on some things and less time on others because they're either deemed important or some students have difficulty with that. And that causes a problem because you can't really have a standardized test for an entire state, much less an entire country, as the new ones are.
I saw this little comic a while back about standardized testing, and it had this nice dude in a suit on a desk, and on the front of the desk said standardized testing, and they had it had a group of animals. It was like a dog and fish and a giraffe and like a elephant, and the test was climb a tree, and basically sums up standardized testing, because how's the fish gonna get up the tree? It's not gonna.
Exactly. Flying fish.
Yeah, poor fish. Just be glad you're not the fish.
Yeah, exactly.
But, like, at the end of the year, like, you know, when you haven't finished a book, like, in math, like, it, still, for example, if you don't finish, like, the book or you just jump around and skip, then the next year, in the beginning of the year, it's going to be devoted to making up what you missed, which is pretty much every year, because you have to go over what they didn't teach you, and then it just slows down the rest of the year, so every year you pretty much can't make it to the end because you're going back for what you missed.
Half the year is just review flat out in math.
Yeah. Although some teachers, when you have, for example, my trigonometry teacher and my calculus teacher next year, he always tries to put more weight on things that will be important in calculus next year and focuses more on those to prepare us for that. And, you know, I forgot where I was going with that, but yeah.
Well, I mean, that's what my teacher for Algebra 2 right now was trying to do. He's trying to make sure that we have every tool that we need to learn for, like, to be able to use in trig next year that he can teach us while we still have, like, 23 days left. So
whenever we find something in our math class that we don't remember or we haven't been taught yet, my math teacher is like, she's like, This is fourth grade math. Why haven't you learned this? And we're like, this is third grade math. This one's fifth grade math.
Actually, I was trying to help someone with Algebra 2 the other day, and then there was like some weird word in there that I had never heard before, and I was like, oh, I never learned that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually, we were doing practice testing for the new core tests, and we had an option to pick which grade level. Well, we were obviously supposed to pick our own. I went ahead and clicked on the third grade one. That math was actually pretty difficult. Like, those were some things that I didn't learn until sixth grade. And, you know, I'm not sure what that says, but...
I actually remember the teacher telling me about you guys doing that, picking the third grade.
Are you smarter than a third grader? No, we are not.
Yeah, that was like the, that was before we had to do the core testing. It was pretty much the same exact thing. It was just like a pre-test that we were like able to do if we wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fun.
What do you think about grading systems in classrooms with the A to F system? And what are your feelings about that?
Well, I think in high school that they are kind of necessary because if you get a bad grade and you're, like, usually a good student, you want to, like, keep it up, you know? But if you're used to getting bad grades, then it kind of just, like, it just starts knocking you down more and more. So I think they're necessary, but the teachers should also be more motivational to try to keep them up.
Yeah.
I don't like how sometimes there's, like, a mystique around, like, how you actually get your grades. Like, oh, I got a C on this. I have no idea why. I got a C in class. Don't know why. And then it helps when they explain to you why you get the certain grades you get. Also, it's pretty lousy when you have a good grade and you're maintaining a good grade and you do one thing and it drops your grade from an A to a D. I don't think that should be possible, but sometimes it happens, and it's like, should this be happening? Should there be a thing available that if you do badly on, it drops you, like, four letter grades?
Yeah.
No.
But then the next thing you do good on, like, barely brings you up at all.
Yeah, if you're maintaining, like, if you have a B, and you're, like, halfway through the year, and you're, like, an 89%, and you try to, like, and you're like, oh, I got, like, last three A's on my testing. Awesome, that's totally gonna bring my grade up to, like a 90-something percent. Nope, you got a 89.87 now. Good job.
Yeah, I've noticed, it seems like kind of C, we always were told, was an average grade, and now I see more B's as an average grade. It seems like the entire grading system has been shifted upward. Like, a B is average, an A is pretty good, and then an A+, 97 to 100 and above range is considered excellent, and there really isn't any middle ground anymore.
Yeah, I kind of always, like, well, I'm used to being, like, an AB student, and I always, like, kind of felt that, like, B was average, and, like, I always thought, like, C was, like, below average, even though it is average. It just seems like it's more below.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I feel that, too, but C is, like... You better get your crap together, because if you go any lower, you're failing. Because, mm-hmm. like, according to colleges, I'm pretty sure, like, a D is basically a failure in a class. So if you don't get a C, you're failing that class, and colleges aren't going to recognize you doing anything in that class. It might not matter if you're not on, like, a college track, but, like, I definitely felt like the shift, wait, did you guys say down or up?
Oh, shifted up.
Yeah, the shift up. Yeah, the shift up.
A C was considered average. B is kind of considered average now, but that's retaining 70% of the information. That's still quite a bit.
Yeah, a C is like 75%.
And a C average would be 75, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, that's a lot of information to retain. And
especially for how many classes.
Yeah, for 7-8 classes a day, definitely. Yeah.
I don't know if it's still measuring retention, if you get what I mean. Like, it'd be nice if a C is like 70% retention, like a B is 80% retention, and then like a 90 is like a A. Wait, an A is 90% retention, but like, it feels a lot more point based now. Mm-hmm. Like, you could know nothing in that class, but if you get all those points, you got an A. Good job, Sonny.
Well, yeah. I have a couple teachers, and their, like, grading is pretty much just tests. It's, like, my physics teacher, like, he doesn't have any homework or anything. It's just projects and tests.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And in that class, everything is retention. You can't, if you forget 70%, or if you forget 30% of the information, you're going to have a C minus.
Or if you miss a day.
Exactly. Or if you miss a day. Yeah.
A day.
Yeah.
That's why I hate missing school, like that period, because physics and algebra too, if I miss one day, I'm like completely lost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. With like I said, there's some classes that you can, you don't have to really retain information. In math, you do. You can find other ways of solving problems and things like that, but in science courses where you should remember things, then you have to. But, you know, English courses, you can just, you know, it's pretty much if you're good at something, you can just do that and still get a good grade.
So how do you guys prepare for tests?
Oh, I panic last minute and study, like, so hard every class period, and then I usually end up getting a pretty good grade, like an A. So.
Procrastinate hardcore.
Yeah, I feel like that's a very good way to prepare for tests these days. The procrastination method is proven by three students in this room to work.
Well, I mean, I'm, like, better at, retaining, like, memory and stuff if I do it, like, last minute, like, really close to the test, rather than, like, oh, I studied a few days, because then it'll just, like, go out because I'm have to think about something else, and it just won't cross my mind.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. I'm very lazy, especially as a senior. It's become very hard to do schoolwork. I just tend to hope that I get enough in class to get the grade I want. And I'm sure I could do a lot better on my tests if I did actually study for them. But I get by. So that is how I prepare for tests.
You see, I'm kind of the opposite in that sense. I neglect my classwork pretty much. But I do really well on the tests, and that makes up for it. And, you know, I kind of think that a grading program should be overall, and one of those things is weighted more than the others. The tests are, of course, but I don't know. It doesn't really measure the effort a student's putting in, and isn't that one of the major points of our education system?
For sure.
Yeah, because if you're not getting, like, a lot of classes, I think my math class is, like, maybe 10% effort in, like, in class and stuff, so that's, like, barely anything, and a lot of people do try as hard as they can, and if they don't do good in, like, a test, then their effort in class still won't matter.
Are you guys talking about the percentage of your grade that's, like, participation or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think those are used as well as they could be, like grade-wise. It's only 10% of your grade, and usually doesn't matter. And what I've found is that the only time teachers really use that is if you're messing around in class, and yeah. if you like, make a scene, or you don't turn your homework or something, they're like, oh, look at this, I can drop your grade by some points by taking away your participation.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I've seen it been used in the grading process. Not really measuring your participation, but like how the teachers feel, like how the teachers feel you represent yourself in class.
Yeah, exactly. Some teachers don't even weight effort and participation at all. It's more reflected in the tests. For example, our physics class is 80% tests, 10%... What's the other 10%? 10% projects.
And participation.
Oh, and participation.
So is homework not even, like, do you guys even
No, we
homework?
Don't have homework in physics.
No. That's awesome, man.
But we have to pay attention every single second in class.
My class is literally the opposite. We get homework every single day. And then, like, it doesn't even matter what we do in class. Well, I guess it does matter. We just end up doing a lot of our homework in class.
But, the thing is, like, if you have homework mostly for your grade, then, like, you can just get it the next day. But in physics, like, in our physics class, if you miss a day, there's not any homework to help you, like, catch up to it. You have to go in there, like, on your own time and, like, ask him to explain it to you.
Oh, that must be lousy.
Or steal someone's notes. That works too.
Yeah. The people that do take notes.
Yeah. Those people.
I have, like, almost a full notebook right now, like, of this semester's physics notes, because the last semester I filled up a notebook completely, so I had to get a new one.
Yeah, that's how math is for me.
Yeah, I just have, like, notebooks full of math. I don't, like, pretty much the notes just go into my little notebook for homework.
I saved all of my all of my math from like sophomore year, I think, and it was one file thing completely like full of like homework papers and like two or three notebooks of like notes, and I finally burnt them. I burnt them the other day, and it felt so good. It felt so good.
I got like 11 or like 12 notebooks at the beginning of like the school year so I could use it, and I like barely have enough. Like, I'm like on the verge of like out of paper right now.
Do you think do you think it's a better system to let the students take notes like that, and or to provide more of a lecturing environment, or I don't know, what else would there be?
Hands-on.
Yeah, hands-on, exactly. That's the word I was looking for.
I think there should be a mixture of both for sure, because you really need that hands-on if you miss something in the lecturing environment. If you're not really getting the notes, you need someone to talk to and like confer with, like, hey, I'm understanding the blah 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 of the shape of the something graph curve, and you need that person to talk to and interact with to help with your learning.
I think it really like just depends on the student, because everybody's different, so people will take it like better one way than the other, obviously, you know. And for like a couple weeks ago, I went on a field trip to, it was a fashion club field trip, and we went to like the Paul Mitchell School, and like they were talking about their classes, and they were saying that they have like different programs, and they'll like ask you like if you're better like at hands-on or like lectures, and they try to like have both and like try to like arrange it for students that are better at certain things, so it's easier for them to retain the knowledge that they learned.
Mm-hmm. How do you think it would be if teachers and the state and the standardized testing were to individualize and personalize their tests, the tests that they gave out to the students? Do you think that would, like, it wouldn't really provide a baseline, but it would be much easier for the students? How would that be?
Well, I don't think it'd be standardized then. It would be awesome. It would be so cool. But it would take so much money and so much effort to encapsulate the American population of children and test them individually.
Yeah.
But that would be like the cloud nine of what you could do with testing, but
yeah,
probably
exactly.
Never happen.
Yeah, for the core testing, they had us like try to do like a hands-on thing. Like our math teacher came in and like explained stuff to us that they wanted him to read, you know, like it was like something like about sod and like if you wanted this much, like if you wanted to build a pool or something like that, or if you wanted to put a fence up, like what he would like explain to us everything about it. And then afterwards we had to like go back on the computer and like type it all in. So
he had to explain the problems to us, and
he had to explain to us what sod was.
I didn't hear about that. I in my math class where I was watching the new test happen, the teacher got access to the beta or whatever, so she put it up on the projector and we like went through it in class. Well, we had one student do it, and we helped her through as a class. So we all kind of like learned what was going on the test. So I guess that might have been the hands-on thing. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I heard they were going to do a group portion to the test where they're going to group a couple students together and have them work on a problem and come to a solution, and then a solution to a way to solve the problem, and then go individually and solve the problem themselves with the method they learned. How do you think that would be in standardized testing?
I'm not sure if that would work as well. I'm not sure I understand the concept very well.
I'll try and put it a different way. They're taking the individual students and putting them together in a
group to work in.
A group, yeah, to find a solution to something. And once they find the way to solve a problem, for example, if it was a math class, a math problem, they would go their individual ways and solve the problem themselves. And it would kind of boost their problem-solving skills.
Okay.
And teamwork skills.
But then what if you get, like, if you have no idea, I feel like, and then you get, like, the worst group that has no idea? I feel like that would be, like, absolutely terrible, and then there's going to be this group of, like, completely smart people that totally know what they're doing, you know?
Exactly. Some yeah. Some groups wouldn't even need to be in a group, and others still wouldn't be able to complete the problem in a group.
Or you're, like, the odd man out and the person who doesn't know how to do it, and then you get a lot of help from your group. And then I feel like they could basically solve your answer for you if you come together to find a way to solve the problem. What's keeping you from solving the problem and giving everyone the answer as a group? I don't know.
Yeah.
I just wanted to go back and talk about the revisions to the SAT really fast. We were reading through about it, and it's now like 3 hours instead of like 5 hours. And that's awesome, because I remember taking the SAT and being, like, down in Laytonville for, like, from, like, 8 in the morning to, like, 4 in the afternoon, all for this one test. And if it's now down to 3 hours, that's a nice revision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't remember what. I think I left at, like, 3 when I took the PSAT and got there at, like, 8.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to open the phone lines now. The phone number is 707-456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call, and we would especially like to encourage the youth, their parents, teachers, and concerned friends in the listening audience. Please call in if you have questions or insights about testing and grading in our schools. Do you have an opinion about high-stakes standardized testing? Do you think that the Common Core testing will be an improvement over STAR testing? Should the federal government be influencing our educational curriculum?
How do you feel about the Common Core test being administered on computers? Did you take the SAT college entrance exam? What was your experience? Will the new improved version be better? Do you think that our school's grading system works in the mostly positive way? Did you find testing easy or difficult when you were in school? Do students get tracked by good or bad grades at an early age? Does the grading system help or hinder our young people?
Did your high school grades accurately predict your adult life? For example, if you were a B student in high school, are you leading a B life? If you were a D student, are you leading a D life? Please call in and be a part of this conversation. The phone number is 707-456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is 456-9991. Please call and be a part of this discussion. We'd really like to hear from you.
Yep, no one yet.
So anyway, back to the SAT for now. Do you think 5 hours is too much time for a test like that?
Yeah, you get burnout really fast on tests like that. I was taking it, and I just remember that, like, they split it up into sections, and it's math, writing, and reading, and the writing was at the end, but it would switch in between, like, a section on reading, a section on math, a section on reading, a section on math, and then back to reading, and then after the first one or two, we were like, oh yeah, that's pretty easy, and then at the end, you're just so burnt out by the rest of them that you just want to quit.
Yeah.
You're on the air.
Caller, you're on the air. Huh. Oh, we can't quite hear you.
Hello? No?
Too staticky.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, it just, after like 5 hours, you get burnout on any test, and especially a hard one like that, and one that is so meaningful as the SAT.
Mm-hmm. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, I think that testing is counterproductive to education. Good luck. Bless you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I can.
Yeah.
Are you still on the air? No. I think she hung up. Okay, yeah.
I feel like 5 hours would be way too long for the SAT.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the BSAT was already so long, and it was, like, only half of what the SAT is supposed to be. No, gosh. That was so complicated.
Yeah, we would get like timed breaks every once in a while from the test, mm-hmm. and we would just go out and like lay on the grass and cry. Okay, we wouldn't actually cry, but emotionally we were like, "So how badly are you doing? You know, I've skipped like 5 or 6 problems. Oh man, I've skipped like 11. Oh shoot."
Yeah.
Cry on the inside.
Yeah.
And the outside. The SAT for that we're going to take, Jordan and I, it's going to be like the week of finals that Saturday, which is going to be terrible.
Oh, yeah. That's something we didn't even mention. Like, at my school, you not only have the STAR testing, but then after that, you'd have the finals. So, mm-hmm. and usually, like, crammed in, like, right next to each other. So, yeah. you'd be, like... super stressed out about this test, and that wasn't even like the STAR test wasn't even important for your high school grades.
Actually, the only reason why I wanted to do the SAT right after finals was because since we're going to be spending like the few days before finals just reviewing everything, that it's just going to be like tests and then that test, and I know everything else since we just went over it. It was just on this test, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it took like a whole week out of your school that worth of like studying for the standardized testing.
Yeah, because a lot of like teachers just sit there and they go through it for a while. Okay, so the number is 707-456-9991, and there's 6 minutes to call in left.
Yeah, I think finals... First, what's your guys' opinion on finals, on having a one last definite... exam for a semester.
Last hurrah.
I hate it so much.
Yeah.
It's like a make and break. If you're making it, it's good. If you're breaking it, it's bad.
Well, I mean, I'm better at like short term knowledge. You know, I can like get stuff in like really good, and then months and months later, it's just completely gone. So like coming to finals, I just like sit there and panic and like try to cram study as much as I can. Like the last mm-hmm. semester final, I was up for like hours the night before just trying to like make sure I had all of the notes I needed, and it was just so hard.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good.
Is there a question? Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
go.
I'm just wondering if you guys could talk about your ideas of what some alternatives to testing could be.
Some alternatives for them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes like you get an like end of the year project or something that you can use to like culminate your ideas and learning into like a project that maybe you help come up with the idea for.
Yeah, I think projects are definitely really useful, like showing how much you really want to try and put effort into it, and also just thinking like of different ways you could solve that, like to make the project. I think that's really important.
Exactly that, and it lets you it lets you use hands-on skills and finally brings the things you've learned into a real-life scenario.
Yeah, because if you just like sit there and test it and then move on, then it's not really doing much.
Yeah.
Maybe like a classroom presentation, where you can not only create like a project for your final, but also help others learn and continue to learn and get ideas for their own finals, their own like little sort of testing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I really like doing English presentations, even though I like have like a terrible fear of public speaking, like in front of like a crowd, and I just like sit there and shake. Because like in mock trial, when I had to give my first opening statement, like I was like standing up there like shaking, and it was so terrible. But I think like the presentations really like do have you learn some stuff, because after that I was so much better. Like that was absolutely nothing.
Like, boom, public speaking opportunities. Okay. Caller, you're on there?
Yes. I think the school system really sucks and has been bad for the last 40 years. I've tried with my kids and stuff to introduce different ideas about how to help you guys get your education for being a college student and people that can earn a decent living without having to go to McDonald's. Mm-hmm. And the SATs are it's been a joke. I took the SAT. I was a D-minus student in high school, and I took the SAT in 67 and got an 87, 85 percentage in math and comprehension. And 20 years later, I did it again, and I'm still in the 80s. Another 20 years later, I'm still in the 80s to math retention and stuff. There's something wrong with the school system that they're not teaching you how to read, retain information, whether it's math or English learning. It's not gotten any better in 40 years.
Yeah, I think it's not just, like, the school system. I think it also has to do with, like, the motivation, like, the teachers try to give you. Because you're, like, I do a lot better in classes that teachers are, like, really excited and enthusiastic about to teach and, like, want to teach, you know, so.
Yeah, I agree on that, you know. That's part of what's wrong with the teaching system is the graduate. It's not the number of children in the class. It's the enthusiasm of the teachers and to find those that need help, giving them a little more attention, letting those that are intelligent and understand algebra to help the other students. Mm-hmm. To roam around the class and say, hey, dude, this is what's going on, and explain them to them in their language.
Well, I think because I've been in schools with, like, I've had, like, five people in my class at one time, including myself, and I think having a small class definitely benefited me because we were able to have more hands-on experience, and, like, I've always gone to a small school, and I think that's always really helped because I can't imagine having to be a teacher and having to go around and try to explain things to, like, hundreds of kids.
Oh, man.
Well, it's usually only 30 people in a classroom. It's not hundreds. That when you're in hundreds, you're in college talking to a big auditorium of people.
Well, like, three classes a day, that's like 90 people already. So, still quite a few people.
In Laytonville or Willis, there's 90 people in a classroom?
No, not in one straight classroom, no. Okay. So, that's all for this month's edition of Youth Speaks Out. Your hosts today have been me, Royce.
Me, Jordan.
And myself, Jesse.
Laytonville Healthy Start Coalition's Drug-Free Communities Project is proud to support this month's Youth Speaks Out. Our Environmental Prevention Strategies in the Community, also known as EPIC, is a project funded by the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Through our organization and coalition, we are working towards reducing youth substance abuse through a variety of strategies in the Laytonville community. If you are interested in learning more about our efforts, please contact Laytonville Healthy Start at 707-984-8089 or email jama@jamashields@pacific.net.
Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of the show, and listen to many hours of the previous programs and streaming audio. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX, they are the views of those who express them. Youth Speaks Out is normally aired on the first Sunday of each month. Our next show will be in 4 weeks, that is June 1st at 3 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in June.